And we're live. 3, 2.
Oh!
Oh! Welcome to the Bacon Smiles podcast. Trying to go live on Periscope, Facebook.
Facebook Live.
We're on iTunes, so subscribe.
Is this still a Buddhist podcast?
Yes. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend
Evan Shaw Mumford.
That's right. So I did. It is still listed as a religious Buddhist
podcast. However we can reach new audiences, let's go for it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty awesome. We have a decent amount of subscribers. My website has this unreal amount of traffic, so
really,
yeah, I
think awesome.
Being on iTunes really has helped, so thank you for everyone out there who's subscribed. We appreciate it. You can subscribe through any podcast app. Just go to the baconsmiles.com/podcast, and the feed link is right there, so subscribe, share it with others. The more listeners, the better.
That's right.
Thank you so much for supporting the ministry. We genuinely appreciate it. So, since we last talked, Easter happened.
Easter has come and gone.
Yeah.
Well, so, technically, we're still in the season of Easter.
Oh, absolutely. But
Easter Sunday.
Yeah. Holy Week was the last time we spoke. So we're going to talk about Easter a little bit. Also, what we did and everything like that. You saw Priceless, the movie. For King
saw it with
Jen.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good movie.
We're gonna get his movie review. How many pieces of bacon? It's gonna be our rating style.
There you go.
Is that a 5-strip of bacon?
How crispy.
Then also kind of want to go into, you know, what kind of movies you like and
sure.
Stuff like that. And then
music, new releases.
Yeah. Our gospel of the day is pretty awesome. John 3:16, probably the most well-known.
I think
verse.
I know that one. Yeah. I think I'm aware of it.
And then the saint of the day is Saint Louis de Montfort. And it's pretty awesome. If you listen to the earlier podcast, I did the 30 Days to Morning Glory consecration to Mary. And he's actually the inspiration for that. True Devotion is a book that he wrote. So it's pretty cool, Saint of the Day. And then, of course, you got News of the Weird.
Absolutely.
All right. Awesome. So let's get right into this. Easter.
Sure. Easter Sunday.
Yeah. I actually celebrated Easter on Saturday and Sunday, so that was cool. Went to Eva's family for our first, like, official holiday.
As Mr. and Mrs. Patera.
That's right.
Beautiful weekend for it, too.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. Her cousin, Alex, he does, like, the, you know, cousin Easter egg hunt. So he steps it up because, like, they're all, you know, everyone's in their 20s or 30s now. Yeah. So it's time to step up the game of Easter egg hunt. This is the first year I was able to participate. And, I had to go ahead and win the whole thing. Apparently, before I got there, talk was, hey, just let you guys know, Steve is very competitive. Eva was trying to, like, hey, so, you know, if you guys want to start without him, that's...
It's like talking to a two-year-old and saying, hold on, stay back behind this line. Don't go yet.
But wasn't like that. Yeah. The issue is we go outside to start the Easter egg hunt, and I found two eggs on the way there. Actually, it was only one, but...
Yeah. That's funny.
I felt like I was not being competitive. I just have a good eye for Easter egg hunting.
Speaking of Easter eggs, I saw a tweet, either it was today or yesterday, but it cracked me up because it was a pun. It said, ran over forgotten Easter egg with my lawnmower. Oh. Smelled like something died.
Oh.
So...
Yeah, and then Easter Sunday, I went to the Pigots because they're awesome. Mm-hmm. They're my, like, holiday family because, you know, my parents live in Florida and, you know, it's just awesome. I love going there and, you know, they love having us, Eva and I, and, of course,
and Buster.
Because, you know, can't go anywhere without him. But what did you do?
So Jen and her family came over to our house and it was nice enough that I said, you know what, let's have breakfast, brunch out on the porch. So we ended up setting up a bunch of long tables, some tablecloth, and put out all the settings. Had had French toast. We had bacon, sausage, pancakes. We had just all the fixings and everything. And it was nice because Jen and I got to host it, and we've never hosted a holiday before.
Yeah.
So her grandparents came over, her aunt and uncle, her parents. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And we just hung out. It was in the low 80s, but we had a nice breeze and everything. Yeah. We could have just hung out there all day. So
was your place clean before everyone
came
over?
It was clean. Yeah, I spent the day before just working on it.
Did it pass Jen's test of cleanliness?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I lived by myself for a while too, so.
Oh, yeah. No. I set the bar high for myself, so I was super stressed out about it the day before. But no, it worked out. So it was nice, and everyone enjoyed it. So
awesome.
And then I went off to work for the afternoon. So
yeah. So you had to do a radio show that afternoon, huh?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon. So it was great because my show is normally 3 hours, but they said, you know what, it's Easter, let's have a 4-hour show. So I just picked all like Easter songs.
Oh,
and once
really
in a while
cool.
I get the question of, well, are there a lot of Easter songs? We go, well, yeah, people have been singing about it for over 2,000 years. So it was fun picking out all these songs because during Lent, I tried to keep the songs kind of reflective of that. Not super downer songs or sacrificial songs, but just kind of keeping in the vibe of the Lent season. So I was being able to play a lot of songs with hallelujah in the lyrics and Amazing Grace and all the hymns that people know and love to sing along to. It was really a joyful show. So it was fun to be able to do that.
That's great. Yeah, that's awesome. How was the smooth jazz brunch?
Oh, that was fun. I didn't play that song you told me about. We were hanging out on Saturday for our listeners that need to know about this inside joke. And I got to fill in kind of last minute on the smooth jazz brunch Sunday morning on Light 100.5. And Steve goes, his face lights up. He goes, do you get to pick the songs? And I said, well, not really. He goes, well, if you get a chance, here's a song you got to play. And I forget the gentleman's name.
So it's the voice of Bob from Bob's Burgers, H. John Benjamin. Mm. He basically released a
joke album.
So he hired professional jazz musicians, studio musicians to accompany
him. Very talented.
On a jazz album. The title of the jazz album is I Never Learned to Play the Piano or I Can't Play Piano.
So the jazz is being laid down so nice. You got the bass lines, you got the drum, you got the horns and the brass, and it's just snappy and just nice. And then they stop so that the piano can take over, and you just listen to all this dissonant chords, and it's just cringeworthy.
Ding 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 ding. It's like it's as if a child was trying to play along with someone who actually could play the piano.
So and then the jazz would just pick up, right, you know, after the piano solo and everything. It's hysterical, but you know, in a nutshell, I didn't get a chance to play that.
Just wanted to know if someone would call in and go, what is this that you're playing?
Oh yeah, what on earth? Can you go back to Kenny G?
So smooth jazz brunch.
But I was having the time of my life. I've been listening to that show for the last couple of years and really, really gotten into smooth jazz. So to be able to fill in was a special treat.
Yeah, that's great.
My eyebrows were all raised up fancy and, you know, got to talk a little more slow and mellow.
Just got to bring it down a couple octaves for the smooth jazz brunch.
Get that music bed playing, Light 100.5, WRCH. I felt like Delilah.
All right.
Let's move on.
Yeah. You and Jen went to see Priceless.
Yeah, I got her the DVD. It came out on Valentine's Day. So I got her the DVD as a gift, and we finally got a chance to sit down and watch it. And very, very powerful movie. It was Joel's first movie. He's one of the members of Four King and Country, and his brothers actually put it together. And it was funny because right before the release of the movie, the Four King and Country brothers would post videos and stuff like that on their Facebook page of the home videos that they used to make when they were kids. Mm-hmm. And it was Indiana Jones style videos. They grew up watching the movies and they were acting them out and stuff like that. So yeah, it was just to kind of promote the new film, but go, yeah, we've been making movies, you know, for years and years and years. And they decided to make this movie focused on human trafficking in the United States. And I guess Eva's involved with the Underground CT, I think the group is called. So it's neat seeing the amount of attention that it's receiving.
Yeah, she's gone to a couple of like prayer meetings and has definitely felt called to try to do what she can.
Right. You know? Because it's still something that's still coming from the underground knowledge and just coming more mainstream. So it's nice to see that attention coming in Connecticut.
So many people just think that it's not happening around here.
Right.
Like they think that only happens in big cities or whatever, but it happens right here in Vernon.
Right on the Berlin Turnpike and Vernon. And so they basically did a story where it's really well done. It's a low budget indie film. I've talked with you about it. I think it'd be great for youth ministries. The thing is, if you're going to watch it, if you're going to have teenagers watch it, you want to have some adults there just to be able to talk over some of the different themes that are going on.
Yeah, you need to break it down both before and after.
Right. And I think it would be a great way to introduce teenagers to service, like we were just talking about Eva and the Underground CT. Yeah. There are a lot of great organizations that are working to combat this and work on legislation to fight human trafficking and making, the penalties for people that traffic human beings higher and more, you know, more serious.
Well, absolutely. And it needs to be a deterrent.
Right. Like,
there needs to be some real reform on it as well. And it just, this thought that somehow it's a victimless crime, prostitution, it really needs to be looked into. And before you just go ahead and have that opinion, you need to really look into it and look at the people who are being forced into this lifestyle. So, and it's not just women who are being trafficked.
It's children too.
Children, young boys, men. It's a real big problem. So
it was a heavy movie, but it was very eye opening, and they did mix in some humor as well.
That's good.
One of the characters who's in it was Champ Kind from Anchorman.
Oh,
and
really?
Also, what's the guy's name from The Office? The sleazy. I can't remember his name, but he was also a character in The Office that was just very off color, and Jen didn't care for him at all. But seeing him in this movie where he does a complete 180 and he plays a very, very
he's in a lot of things. He's kind of like that guy, you know, where he just plays like, you know, second or third guy. And,
right.
You know.
So he's obviously very versatile, and you can see that in Priceless. But it mixes in some good humor. It mixes in some really powerful thoughts and arguments, because there was one part, I won't, you know, give any spoilers out, but one person that they run into says, well, I'm not a victim. I chose this path. Mm. And you hear that every now and then. But the response that they gave for that was really, really good. So I will just say that. So
that's great.
If you go see the movie, I do recommend it. They now have it on Redbox. I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes.
Well, just kind of in response to that, what I've heard in looking into situations like this, that's trying to self-empower that response. So that, you know, I chose this. It's kind of, instead of saying, well, it's my fault, or trying to, you know what it is? It's trying to not be the victim.
Right.
You know, I'm not a victim. Don't call me a victim.
Right.
So that's the self-preservation, wanting to have the power of saying that I am not the victim here. So, yeah. All right. So try to lighten it up a little
Absolutely.
Bit. Absolutely. So, what's your favorite movie all time?
Let's see. There's so many, especially if you sort it by genres. Mm-hmm. If there's a movie that is going to make me tear up and call my dad and say, I love you. I'd have to say it's Field of Dreams.
Oh, okay.
I love that movie, especially with James Earl Jones in it, Kevin Costner. And
yeah, I love
baseball and just seeing the two of them, you know, sometimes hamming it up on the screen and just having a good time and memories with baseball players. That's a good one. If you're looking for something with scares, humor, and a really nice uplifting message, I'd have to say Signs with Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix. I know it's you know, it's a polarizing movie.
But
I liked the
the audio version of that is gonna be ridiculous.
but just the way that, you know, all the little nuances in it, and just the way that the plot unfolded, I thought there were some moments that just made me laugh, crying, and had nice uplifting.
The question that I have to you is, did it hold up the second time you watched it?
Yeah, because even as you know what's going to happen,
yeah,
I feel like the storyline and the character development.
That was another M. Night Shyamalan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was before he really started to lose his touch. Everything after that just kind of, although I've been hearing very good things about his last couple of movies. I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I heard that he's making, you know, movies like he used to, right, versus
The Happening and
The Village.
The Village. Whoa. Yeah, or Lady in the Water.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, just awful. that's a zero bacon strips on the bacon scale.
Right. No bacon there. So how about you?
Favorite movie of all time is Tommy Boy. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
It's not even close. it's the perfect movie.
Okay.
I could watch it every day and I'd still laugh. It is perfectly done.
You know, I just thought of one too. The perfect funny movie for me, because it also makes you think too, is Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams. It's a heavy movie, but it's one where he absolutely riffs throughout it.
Yep.
And just the idea of how much improv went into that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just ran out of film just trying to keep up with him.
Yeah.
He was super funny in that.
Yeah. Well, if you want to talk about improv, Ace Ventura.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
For you youngins out there, if you have not seen Ace Ventura, it's worth the watch.
Yeah.
What did you like, Tommy Boy?
What did you like better, Ace Ventura or Bruce Almighty?
I mean, probably Ace Ventura, but I might be looking at that through nostalgia. It's just so good when it came out. my friend Mac Ruder, who passed away when I was in high school, that was one of his favorite movies, and he would just act that out all the time.
Yeah.
And I just remember him speeding into the school parking lot, whipping around into a space, and then getting out like a glove, and then just being so ridiculous. There's just so many great lines where it's just like, hey Ace, you got any more of that gum? No, Dan, and I think you to stay out of my personal life. It's just so asking for a piece of gum.
I think there's a few people who missed out on this movie just going, okay.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, those don't make any sense, but if you have seen it, you're laughing. I know you are. All right, so the other question that we discussed beforehand was, do you ever go to the movie by yourself? Are you a self-movie goer?
Not anymore, but when I was very, very single and in college, that was a thing that I would do. Just because it was easy, not having, to go by anyone else's schedule and just go, mm-hmm, you know what, I'm not doing anything tonight. Instead of just sitting around feeling bad, I'm just going to go out and see, Superman, or I'm going to go see a Marvel movie or something like that.
Okay.
So now that Jen and I are together, it's awesome going to see movies. It was just a little bit of an adjustment to go, all right, well, it's just, mm-hmm, got someone else's schedule to work with. But back in the day, I used to do that, and it was fun.
I've never been the go to the movies by myself guy. The other thing, and I thought of this just now, when Did you ever go to the movies like with a group of friends in high school?
Yes.
Did you always leave a seat in between you and other people?
No.
No? See, no. I feel like my friends and I in high school did. Like, it's just, you didn't want to seem like you're out, like, I don't know, didn't want to rub elbows.
Right. See, I remember there's only been a few movies that I've gone to with a group of friends where we went to the premiere, the movie, like the midnight showing.
Yeah.
And the one that I remember most was when we went to go see the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie, because we were figuring, oh, they're going to wrap up the trilogy, and now they're on, like, the eighth one.
But yeah, there's another one coming out this year, but, man, those movies got worse each one that came out.
But we were so excited. We went dressed up as pirates. I went to Munson's, and I got those little bags of the chocolate coins wrapped in the gold wrapping.
Unbelievable.
And so we showed up. I'm, like, tossing around bags of chocolate gold. And so that was fun. But I don't go to the midnight showings that often. It's got to be a good, good hype movie.
I never dressed up for a single movie that came up. I saw Star Wars Episode One. I saw that the day it came out.
I'm sorry.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Eva's going to kill me for that. She loves those movies.
Oh, really? Even the prequels?
Yes. I think she likes those better than, like...
Really?
What is it? 4, 5, and 6?
Really?
Yeah. And she's a huge fan of the newest ones.
Okay. Yeah. The new one was good.
Here's a hot take.
Yeah.
I like Star Wars. Yeah. I just don't understand, like, this huge following that it has. Like, it's okay. Like,
I remember one of my classmates in high school saying that he went to go see the third one when it came out in theaters back in, like, 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
And someone was dressed up as General Grievous, I think the guy's name was, just this guy with extra arms and lightsabers.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy was, like, in his 40s, 50s. And he's like, oh, if you never watched Clone Wars, you'll never understand who General Grievous was. Well,
that's the thing.
My classmate was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't really care whether.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care to know who General Grievous is. Have you ever seen some of the footage of, like, Comic-Con?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've driven by it.
The object is to dress as obscure as possible.
Yeah.
Like, not to be, you know, Boba Fett.
Right.
But to be Darth Nihilus. I'm not even kidding. That's a real character. Right. I don't know what it's from or anything like that. I just know that someone at one point
dressed up as
Darth Nihilus.
Well, my brother was telling me about Darth these guys. Nihilus. That'll go to these Comic Cons dressed up as the Waynes, like Bruce Wayne's parents.
Oh.
And every time that they'd see someone dressed up as Batman, they'd throw themselves on the ground and act like they're dead.
That's taking it to a little
extreme, but I thought it was funny.
That is pretty good.
Because every Batman like show that they do, they have to do some sort of origins thing of Bruce Wayne when he had parents.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's the new show Gotham.
Yeah.
You know, like Bruce Wayne. Oh,
Jen loves that show.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I have not kept up. All right. So what do you got in music?
So not a lot of new releases coming out over the next few weeks. There are some good ones to know about, though. For example, next weekend, you might remember Tree 63. They did that cover of Matt Redman's Blessed Be the Name of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Their lead singer, John Ellis, has an independent album coming out next weekend, and it is called Tells. Very good singer. If you're into Tree 63, I'd recommend their album, Worship, Volume 1. I have that, and it was their album that I picked up when I saw them a couple of years ago at the Bushnell in Hartford. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal record. Coming up in the next few months, Mandisa, actually coming up next month, May 19th. Is going to be coming out with her new album, Out of the Dark. She was on Good Morning America, actually, this morning. Or if you're listening to this on Thursday, it was yesterday. But if you want to check out a cool performance of her doing Unfinished, she sang that live on Good Morning America this morning, live as we're recording this. Also coming up, we haven't heard anything new from Brandon Heath or Third Day for a while.
Oh, yeah. yeah, true.
But they're back in the studio. They've just released some new radio singles and sent them out to the radio stations. They're not going to get aired for the next couple weeks, but both songs very catchy, so definitely
why,
worth.
Why don't they start playing them right away?
Because what happens is they send it out to, the labels send it out to the radio stations, and then they want the people at the radio stations to listen to them a few times and kind of get used to it.
They can talk about it.
Yeah, so after you hear it a few times, like maybe the first time or second time you hear it, it doesn't grow on you right away. Mm-hmm. But after a few listens, then you go, okay, this is really, really good. And then they go, okay, we want...
talk about it because, you know, like, oh, wait for this.
You can hype it up a little bit. And then once it starts playing, they say, okay, we're officially saying we want it to be played this weekend or something like that. And then that's when it goes for ads, as they call it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, brand new music from Brandon Heath and Third Day on the Way, probably mid to end of this year.
Mm.
So it'll be cool to start hearing that on the radio, some fresh new music.
Awesome. Pass me that right there.
Sure. For the scripture reading of the day, as we unveil it. I think we're familiar with this one.
Yeah, I think so too. Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come towards the light, so that his works may not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people just know
the bumper sticker version.
Yeah. They just know the 3:16. They don't go the whole 16 through 21. And it's pretty great when you break it down.
Yeah, I mean, I love, that's why I love when Easter and Christmas comes around, because as the news gets more scary and more harsh and more intimidating, you know, Easter and Christmas is just this reminder of John 3:16 that, you know, he wasn't sent, like it says, he was not sent to condemn the world, but so that those who believe could be saved.
Yes, and it also just speaks so much to human nature with the people who do bad don't want it to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're afraid of the goodness because you've done so much wrong. And you're trying to hide what you're doing because you know that it's wrong.
Right.
And you don't want it to be seen. That's the devil's biggest trick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the time of original sin, Satan is just talking, you know, the serpent in the garden is like, oh, God is so forgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, well, who is he to tell you not to have the apple? You should have the apple.
Right.
Then when they eat the apple, the serpent's like, God's a harsh judge.
Right. Exactly.
You know? And that's the devil's greatest trick, is telling you, you should hide in the darkness, mm-hmm. because you don't want anyone to see what you're doing. And then all God wants you to do is come into the light, because the second you come into the light and you feel his truth, his love, and his light, you're just going to be like, I don't want to do any of that stuff anymore. I don't want
to. Well, it goes back to the passage we were talking about two weeks ago when we were talking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
And Simon Peter said, well, you'll never wash my feet, and just got really, really nervous. And Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you will have no part of me.
Yeah. And it's just, man, just people being afraid to to just stop the darkness and get away from it. Or just, if that's all you know and that's all you see, you just surround yourself with darkness. You never see the good. You never see the positive in life. If you just surround yourself in negative crap, you just never see any good in that. You'll just wallow in it and you'll never feel good. Just the darkness of life just can suck the life out of you and you'll never feel that goodness. And when you start to see the positive in the good in the world, that's when you start to feel better. I mean, like, actually physically feel better. When you start to get into that depression and that darkness and that gunk, you never get out.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what turning towards the light does. And it's just, this is such a reminder of that God did not condemn the world. He did not come down here to say, you guys are all awful and I want nothing to do with you. He came down here to say, hey, I love you. I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to come down as truly man and truly God. And I'm going to sacrifice my only son, Jesus Christ, so that you know that I love you. And that you know that you'll have eternal life as long as you believe. That's awesome. Yeah. And that's why this is the most famous scripture. Like, see it on signs. God so loved the world, he gave us his only son. Like, boom, bumper sticker. It's on everything. It's at sport games. It's everywhere. But that, it's awesome. If you truly just dive into this and get into it, that's what makes it awesome. Hmm. So.
Amen.
Yeah. And then we have an amazing saint today, too.
Right.
Saint Louis de Montfort. You got to look into him. He started the missionaries of the Company of Mary. He really made it important to receive communion every day when it wasn't even a real thing to do so. Mm. He wanted you to have a true relationship with Christ. And to do that, you got a true relationship with the Holy Mother. Mm. And how important having that relationship. Earlier today, I was out at a job. You know, I do installs. And we were doing an installation right across the street from a church in Niantic, Connecticut. And I saw a man come. And it was raining. And he outside kneeled before a statue of the Blessed Mother.
Wow.
Made the sign of the cross and sat there and prayed for a little bit. Then went inside. Then came back out, kneeled before the Blessed Mother, and prayed again.
Wow.
That's just true.
In the rain.
In the rain. Kneeling in jeans in a puddle, probably.
Yeah.
And that is just that true relationship with the Blessed Mother. And having a relationship with the Blessed Mother brings you closer to Christ. Mm. That's what the book that I read, 33 Days to Morning Glory, it's from Marian Feast Day to Marian Feast Day, 33 days in between. And it's awesome. It shows you the writings of Saint de Montfort, and it's just amazing what, you know, he lived and what he started and what he wrote down. So look into it. He's an amazing man and an amazing saint.
Very good.
News of the weird?
News of the weird. So do you like hash browns?
I mean, yeah, because who doesn't like hash browns?
Exactly. So hash browns are great, but if you buy any from McCain Foods USA, you might want to be careful because the FDA is recalling 2-pound bags of the Harris Teeter brand frozen Southern style hash browns. I couldn't get that out once.
Okay.
Don't try it 3 times very fast. Congratulations. But the reason is because the company says golf balls were inadvertently harvested along with the potatoes. And so
why are there golf balls in the potato fields?
I don't know if there's golf courses near the tater farms,
we decided to help make money for our farm
right.
by having hash browns,
right?
Having potatoes that'll be harvested for hash browns in the driving range.
So they're saying North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Delaware, Florida, Georgia, and Maryland were affected by the recall. Hasn't been reaching this area at all. But
so watch out for the hard chunks.
Right. If your hash brown has big white pieces in it, You might want don't
golf
want
balls. That's yeah. so ridiculous. So,
just lost a tooth over this hash brown.
Just amazing.
So,
but yeah. anyway, that's our podcast for today. As the music starts, as always, we're super appreciative. You know, shoot us a line, steve@baconsmiles.org for email, at stevie.pt on Instagram, at stevie_pt on Twitter, at @_baconsmiles. You can see us on Facebook Live. Join in on the conversation, shoot us a message, and, you know, we want to hear from you. Love to see reactions to what we talk about. Tell us what your favorite movie is. Just shoot us a hashtag, Bacon Smiles.
Absolutely. And feel free to like us on Facebook so that when we do these Facebook Live broadcasts,
yeah,
you can join in the conversation. We'd love to see some messages pop through while we're recording this live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be a part of the show.
So, again, subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for everyone who's done so. We really appreciate the support. As always, keep smiling. And God bless.